Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy?
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
Brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in, Hysteria Nation, to a peaceful episode of Hysteria 51. Hear that? It's nothing. The bots are over at John's house helping him with the new kiddos, so it's just me this week, and I can't tell you how excited I am to not have to deal with Tweedledee and Tweedledip shit. It's like my birthday and Christmas rolled into one, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a lot of fun this week. We have a fun one in store for you. Tyler Transu and Chris Rupert of Dockside Media are joining me to talk their new documentary, Conscious Contact Full Disclosure. And I got to tell you, it's right up the H51 alley as it covers aliens, experiencers, hybrids, UFOs, consciousness, and telepathy, all told through the experiences of 5 individuals. Here's a tagline for it. For as with all things paramount to humanity's survival, when the issues and interests reach a boiling point, the masses will enact change. Are we truly alone, or have we evolved to a new epoch in the annals of mankind's existence? Question mark. So this documentary was an absolute blast to watch. And Tyler and Chris are very passionate about making these films, as you're about to find out. Plus, this is just the first in a series of docs that I think you're all going to love. We're talking other experiences, CIA, Bigfoot, tons of stuff like that. And I'm going to run a break real quick. When I come back, Chris and Tyler join me, and we're going to talk all things Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure. That's up next on Hysteria 51. Welcome back in, Hysteria Nation, and welcome in Chris and Tyler. Guys, thank you so much for joining us on the show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So you guys, I was so happy you reached out. You let me watch your documentary. We want to talk about it. But before we get in, tell us about yourselves. What's your background? How'd you get into movies? What's your elevator pitch, so to speak?
So made movies in high school and started a family and took a break. And just got back into it about, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. Been making short films and stuff. And we started doing this My Business, My Story video show where we'd meet with local businesses and just hear their personal stories about their business and, you know, their history and stuff.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, it was a really cool experience. It was a lot of fun. We were really getting into it. And then COVID hit and kind of put a damper on that show because it was really hard to go out and talk to people.
Just puts the proverbial brute right on the neck of whatever business you're doing, right?
100%. So I been getting more and more into filmmaking during that whole thing, doing a bunch of narrative stuff, and then kind of broached the subject with Tyler about, you know, maybe approaching a documentary. And then we can get into how we made Conscious Contact there, but that's kind of my history.
That's awesome. What about you, Tyler?
Yeah, for sure. Brent, for me, it just happened. It was one of those things, like a random day, 6 years ago, or it'd be like 6 year, I think, in May. But my son was, I guess, like one at the time. He was down taking a nap. Like a movie trailer came on the TV that day. And for whatever reason, man, my brain saw it that day. I'm like, huh, that's just a bunch of 1 second, 2 second, 3 second video clips strung together to tell a story. I bet I could do that. And like went outside with my son's toy dinosaur and just ripped like a fictitious, the Dino Slayer trailer. So your listeners Google the Dino Slayer trailer, you'll find it. And dude, it just ignited that spark and that passion, man. And it's like that 10,000 hour rule, like, you know, 10,000 hours of anything, if you do it, like you'll become an expert. And I don't know if I've logged 10,000 hours in the past, like almost 6 years, but bro, I just hit the ground running from there and went from, filming on my cell phone to getting a bunch of cameras and drones and gimbals and lights and just becoming a good, you know, a better editor and had to, similar to Chris, being like a one-man show, you know, I had to teach myself how to act and all these other things. So it's been an awesome journey. We've had somewhat parallel journeys in that, man, we both taught ourselves filmmaking, like the writing, the directing, the acting, the pre-production, the post-production, the production of it, you know.
Yeah, you put yourself through school, so to speak. You know, just learning on the fly. Sometimes that's one of the best ways to do it. And I've watched a lot of your videos and your on your YouTube channel and stuff. You seem to have you guys are very infectiously exciting and you have an energy and that's awesome. And you can tell that you really are enjoying what you're doing. And it's not, sometimes you watch people and they're like, this is my project. You know what I mean? And that's not you guys, but I do have to ask.
I feel like you just described both me and Tyler in those descriptions. I'll let you choose which one is the energetic one.
Well, dude, if you heard about, if you went from making making a movie trailer on the fly with no experience to, flying around and interviewing people and you watch Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure, bro, like, wouldn't you be fired up?
Exactly. Like,
are we doing this, bro?
That's absolutely. Well, that's my next question is, from starting out and you're getting your feet wet, you're cutting your teeth on it, to going to this whole huge documentary on this paranormal or super conscious UFO concept, where did that concept come from or the idea for this? Was it meaning, were you always interested in UFOs and that side of the world, or did this just come through organically through other means?
So, well, Chris, in the like the beginning of August, of this year, he had said, we've been doing commercial work for different companies and, you know, short films and music videos for different clients and all that good stuff. But he was like, hey, you know, I think maybe we could get some like residual income or passive income, if we made some documentaries. And so he threw out to me the Seven Gates of Hell, which is located in Hellam, Pennsylvania, which is like near York, Pennsylvania. And there's a myth or a legend that, you know, if you go through these seven gates at night that appear on this person's property where somebody was killed, et cetera, if you go when you go through the seventh one, you're instantly transported to hell. So it's like, oh, dude, it's local. Yeah, I can go. Yeah. Get the property owner and
That's a fun dice to roll right there. Let's see if I go to hell or not.
We'll probably still do it. So that was the idea. I started reaching out to people and I was having trouble getting the property owner on board or having them contact me back. And I just happened to see Anjali's story on Reddit. She was gaining popularity on Reddit and Twitter. She's a former Department of Defense intelligence officer. And she was saying that she has been in contact and had met extraterrestrials, you know, in a mountain that like was excavated on private property.
Right. Now, if you guys are not familiar with what he's talking about, we actually, when she did her talks on the Capitol steps, we actually played those in Hysteria Nation. So if you guys happen to see it, that's who we're talking about. Or when you watch the documentary, you'll see a lot of her speaking on there.
Oh, dude, that's sick. Okay. So, bro, that's what it was. I saw her story on Reddit. I'm like, yo, here's the deal. If she is going to put herself out there, at that time, her real name was not revealed. Mm-hmm. So if she's going to go down, give her real name, announce that she's forming a team to like take an expedition or lead an expedition out to this extraterrestrial base to get data to share with the public. If she's going to do that, man, like that just takes a lot of guts.
And she spoke so matter-of-factually. You know, like that was what was really interesting with her. I felt like she was just like I was back in college and a professor telling me that these are the facts. Here's what you need to know. And you need to learn from this.
Yeah. So I'm like, well, Chris, when I saw that on Reddit and it was like, yeah, 2 weeks, I guess, before her, you know, her press conference, I'm like, bro, do you care if we switch to something along these lines? I got to go down and get this. People are going to want to see this. So, man, I ended up running down there, ran the three cameras, two on tripods, one on a gimbal to get all the footage you see in the documentary. And then they were having technical difficulties. So I actually ended up live streaming it as well from my phone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Like her whole press conference. And that's what started the ball rolling. And then from there, yeah, just kind of one person led to the other.
It's like that trickle effect with it. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful thing. We didn't have a real set idea or plot on how we wanted to do this. But we got her, we filmed her press conference. And then, Chris and I kicked it around. I'm like, bro, what about conscious contact, full disclosure? I can go get all these people's interviews, man. These different experiencers, people that are doing telepathy. And man, hit the ground running, bro. We started August 17th. Man, Chris, you had that final cut done, what, like October 29th or something crazy?
Something like that.
That's hugely fast turnaround.
Yeah.
For something like this. So you're just editing nonstop. That's impressive.
I do a lot of editing for my, I'm self-employed. I'm a graphic design video editor and all that kind of stuff. So I do video production as well, you know, professionally. So I'm just constantly editing. But this... You know, and I actually was editing another documentary that just finished as well after this. But this was Conscious Contact was so easy, so easy to put together because of the way all their, you know, interviews flowed and everything. Their stories interweaved and are similarities like kind of revealed themselves throughout their stories that it wasn't like a struggle to put something cohesive and compelling together. It just felt like it all kind of went into place like a puzzle. Yeah.
That's important because in this, there's five people, there's five stories that you're telling and they're all from different walks of life telling the same story from a different view kind of. And that's what was really interesting is you have from these, you know, former government officials to your quote unquote hippie types to Native Americans, business people, all coming out and saying these things in their own way, telling the same story. And one of the things you talked about was this telepathic communications. They talked about quantum entanglement and how these higher beings are out there, vastly different forms of us using vastly different forms of communication. And they've progressed further than us. Why are some people like these people that you interviewed privy to it, and most of us are not, do you think?
I will say this. Before we even made this thing, like I always loved this kind of content, supernatural stuff. It interests me. I enjoy it, whether I believe it or not, I guess.
Right, right.
And what in doing this documentary did for me was made me open my mind a little bit more to this subject matter. Mm-hmm. So Tyler is way more fascinated, way more interested in like cutting edge technology stuff. He's constantly sending me articles and he's like obsessed with Neuralink and stuff and all this interesting, like, you know, potential future, I guess, that lays ahead of us, like all this stuff. And I think some of this UFO content kind of sits at that edge as well, because there's a lot of things lining up with, you know, revealing information and stuff. And so I wasn't really like that privy to this world, and hearing all these people's stories. And like you said, they're all from different walks of life, and they may have different terminology for certain things, but like, you know, download and all that kind of stuff comes up, and it's like, these people's stories all sound very similar, even though they're kind of describing them in their own words. So by the end of it, and I think the documentary shows this, there's this, like, I don't know, kind of really positive message that made me very happy, that all kind of came together from everybody's story at the end. And while, you know, there's some doom and stuff, potential, you know, things they talk about, by the end, I think I just like the whole positive message of like, just be open to this kind of stuff, be you know, open-minded.
Yeah.
I don't know if I answered your question.
No, you did. No, there's... So you, well, yeah. So you are getting those links then, because sometimes you don't respond. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's true. I do get your links, Tyler. I do not respond to all of them.
All right. Well, yeah, dude, sometimes I just go on a run and I'm just firing links.
I should not have mentioned that, I guess.
Here's 33 things I want you to look at and get back to me on.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dude, so I don't know. Like, me? Yeah, I've never been a super, like, aliens definitely exist, but I've always been like, I think it's possible. Mm-hmm. And just as... Man, I'm 36 now. So just the exponential growth in technology I've seen in my lifetime, dude, if I live to 100, well, actually I'm going to live to 200 or 300 because Bezos, he's dropping money into the reverse aging and stuff. So I feel like I'm definitely going to 200 or 300, but even if I only make it to 100, dude, like where's our technology going to be, right?
It's amazing to look at the, like you just said, the way technology changes. Okay, look at what you said. So you started filming and you bought yourself cameras and tripods and gimbals and things like that. 20 years ago, those would have cost you a small fortune.
Yep.
And now you can go to Amazon and buy professional gear at bargain basement prices. And that's just in this industry.
That is 100% why Tyler and I kind of partnered up, because I've worked with a ton of people locally. There's a ton of people who want to be filmmakers and make things, but they don't actually go out and do. So they'll talk about it.
It's easy to sit around and say, I want to,
but
yeah.
And if there's one thing me and Tyler do is we were both individually motivated and making tons of content and stuff. So it just felt natural to team up with somebody who's equally motivated to make things.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That's kind of how our partnership came to be, I think.
Yeah. And it's a great team in that. Well, again, just more open-minded. I just think, man, if any type of intelligent life evolved on any planet 100, maybe 1,000 years before us, we'll have most of this technology that we associate with UFOs and whatnot in 100 to 1,000 years. So if they did that, they'll be doing the same thing we're doing.
Right.
We're sending probes to Mars. And I even love this stuff too, which is kind of crazy that the documentary touches on hybrids, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know who you're following, Brent, in the ufology community, but you know, the former like intelligence people and just the high level people all seem they seem to be moving towards some sort of hybrid scenario or narrative where just saying something happened 70,000 years ago, man, where we went to the ape, you know, the human species like became the apex species. And are we just in some sort of whatever control environment or something?
That's one of the things that the gentleman you had on there, the Native American, gentleman was talking about how they share almost like downloaded knowledge from thousands of years ago. He says that his people understood were put into these human hybrids that walk amongst us. He called them rainbow children or blue children or indigo children. Yep. Touching on him real quick, and I thought was an interesting thing, is Native Americans in their history, the star people is something that I've talked about a lot. We've talked about a ton on here and hybrids and everything. But when we have cultures outside of our own, by our own, I mean like the Western cultures and philosophies, that not only believe in extraterrestrials or spiritual stuff, but have parts of their culture based on their teachings, we, the Western societies, dismiss them so fast, it blows me away. And it's got to be kind of a slap to the face, and they're out here teaching and trying to say, well, this is our history, and people just go, no, I'm not going to listen to you. So it was really nice to see him and hear him telling of the history of the Native Americans and how, even though they had all these other tribes that don't even speak the same languages, and they come together and they're all telling the same stories.
Yeah, absolutely. And for everybody out there, if you want to Google that, that man's name is Clifford Mahudi, and he's a Zuni Pueblo elder. So the Zuni peoples, man, they've been here for thousands of years. Mm-hmm. So, man, the stories that they've passed down, like, I feel like they have probably just as much legitimacy as, say, like the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or some of these things, because, yeah, they've been sharing the same, you know, that same story that affected their peoples thousands of years ago.
Well, the other thing that you were talking about, one was with the Capitol steps, and then Sue Walker was having experiences with telepathy with aliens. That's something that was, she was talking about how the Sandia Mountain, there was a voice that was talking to her, a visitor from, she said, there's a base there from the home. Her, I actually wrote it down. The home is the fifth planet orbiting the further of the two stars of the binary star we call Zeta Reticuli, which is your classic gray aliens, where they come from and things like that.
Yep.
Whether you believe her or not, to think of something like that happens is mind blowing, that people, at least believe and say that they're having experiences like that. And then to be able to have her come on and talk about it. And she's kind of famous because she's the one who is tweeting out all of these mm-hmm. information that they are giving her, that she literally says they're doing it as like drip feeding for soft disclosure that is imminent, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say this, Sue Walker and her husband, Otter, they're the most genuine and nicest people I have ever met, man. They were so welcoming when my, you know, energetic butt rolled out there. and I had an absolute blast. And, you know, she is just a great person in that some of the other people in this documentary, like Clifford Mahudi, I mean, she had put me into touch with him.
That's great. And yeah.
And while I was out filming Clifford that day, when I flew out there, she happened, I think, to text me, the Reverend John Polk that ended up being there. He's a couple hours north, or he's out in that area of where Clifford was. And so, yeah, it was just wild how this whole thing. And yeah, she basically told me, hey, you have to see Tyler. You need to.
Yeah.
And just like, oh, man, she was a massive help in getting this completely made.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
One crazy thing she says there's 75 to 80 different cultures of extraterrestrials visiting Earth daily. 75% of those are here because of the water, not because of us or the land or anything to do with us. They're here for water because that's like the beacon for or water worlds. And the other thing she said that I found interesting, she said that in 1971, they signed a 50-year treaty to where they couldn't, the governments of the world and these ETs, that they couldn't come out and disclose themselves to us. Why do you guys think there's that secrecy that we hear about all the time? If that's actually true, why do you think?
Well, I mean, I think like we can see so clearly nowadays how a public reacts to something so large. I mean, with the pandemic, we have people all over the aisle with,
I don't know what you're talking about. It's been a really easy, lighthearted reaction to
it. Exactly. Exactly. But I mean, you see it, like there's no, we don't come together over this thing, which, you know, there's people dying and stuff. So you think it was something that we could at least come together easier on, but you already said it yourself. Like, people listen to Clifford Mahudi's stories and they're just like, oh, it's just some legend, you know, and they won't take any of that. Won't listen to any of that at face value. Or
look at when the Tic Tac videos came out and they were all over everywhere, mainstream media everywhere. And they said, hey, these are things that are definitely under intelligent control and we don't know what they are. And pretty much the entire population went, meh.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Here's one of the craziest things we've ever seen, and it's the closest we've ever gotten to any sort of disclosure. Yeah, but who won the ball game yesterday?
But I get it. Like, if you were to drop massive knowledge or massive thing that would shutter the world, like, everybody would be shocked by this. We don't know how everyone would react. You need to, these ideas that grow feels organically, maybe slower spreading. It becomes more understandable, I think, because it's not going to be based on just reactionary emotion. So if what they say is true, for me as a skeptic person, that logically makes sense to me as how you would reveal this information.
And now we're seeing, this came out this week. I don't know if you saw it. It said, NASA used religious experts to predict how humans may react to aliens. They invited 24 theologians to come in to talk about, like, if we came out and said there are aliens, how would your people react to this? And that was that. That's been all over the news. And actually, I saw that earlier today. And from the AP news, they were talking about how NASA's doing that. So, and that's also, though, that doesn't mean that there is aliens and we're going to be, you know, privy to them right away. That just means that they're dotting their I's and crossing their T's if the time comes, to me at least. But it is, in a time where we're seeing on the news things that they can't explain, and it feels like it's a little bit closer to the realm of possibility, and people are understanding it. At least that's an interesting thing that we're seeing.
It was, but I was telling Chris earlier, because he actually sent me that, and I'm like, bro, from what I've gathered, okay, that whole study with the 24 theologians by the NASA sponsored think tank, more or less, was like in 2017, dog. 2017. What happened is there's a guy who's releasing a book here in 2022, and he's using material, I think, from that conference, right, of the 24 theologians. And so he probably paid his PR company or publicist or whomever it is to go out and, you know, drum up this media. And so they,
right,
it's odd,
right,
because that thing popped up all over the place. I saw it on, I've just seen it everywhere. And yeah, when I looked into it more, it's like, oh, dude, this is referencing a thing that happened actually 4 years ago.
Yeah, you're right. It's funny how things hit the news cycle at different times, and one person can pay to have stuff put out everywhere, and boom, it goes viral.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but it's all right, because you, the way you took it, Chris took it, the way the rest of the population is taking it, is that, oh, this just happened now. So whether it happened 4 years ago or not, if everybody's thinking along the lines, oh, there's these theologians being brought together to discuss how would intelligent life elsewhere affect the pop, you know, the masses. Like, that just, I don't know. I think that's good for the movement of disclosure, that people are just even in that mindset now, whether it happened before or not.
I mean, I think it's pretty ignorant to think that just like our scientific community, NASA and stuff, isn't actively looking for alien life. I mean, we just sent out the James Webb telescope, you know, thing costs like $10 billion. Its goal is to find something interesting. You know what I mean? I think it's looking for alien life. It's looking for habitable planets. It's just looking for something out there. So I don't quite completely understand the complete dismissal of everyone's stories, or, you know, just completely skeptic to the point where you can't be open to believing.
Right. The vastness of space is something we cannot even fathom.
Yes.
Because it's too massive. And to think that we are the only ball out there is almost comical. That does not mean that we are close enough that others have visited us. And it doesn't mean that that's not true either. I'm just saying, to think that there's not a microbe on another planet somewhere, which would constitute life. And some people just go, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. Scientifically speaking, that's just crazy. Yeah. You know? And real quick, you were talking about this, like, this think tank. We had Max Brooks on, Mel Brooks' son, here not too long ago, and he's the member of like two or three think tanks for the government, and they just bring them in, a bunch of people, and they throw these crazy fucking concepts and go, what would you do? you know,
he writes them down and goes home and writes World War Z
II. Right, exactly, exactly. That's where he just devolution the whole cut off from society and the Bigfoots come and they're slaughtering people and stuff. But he talks about how, you know, I'm sure a lot of it they can't. There's probably NDAs for a while, but they just come in with these weird situations and say, "What would you do?" And a lot of times it doesn't have any basis in anything other than they're just data collecting.
Right. Yeah.
Or you hope not. You hope hope the weird crap they're throwing at you isn't exactly. So it doesn't surprise me that they would have a think tank working on stuff like that.
No, not at all.
I feel like, yeah. And I think, man, yeah, what's crazy is I forget if it's like 5-6 years ago, but when like that stuff leaks where, oh, like Facebook was going around and, you know, it would just, on 100 or on 1 million people's news feeds, they would only like show those people negative friends posts and no positive. And then vice versa. Only
that had no bad effect on like society.
And it affected everybody's mindsets and what they were posting. And it's like, dude, so if people are going around doing that and establishing the, like, hey, this is possible. I don't know. Why wouldn't some government be looking at just all the scenarios and probably trying to influence public perception and narratives? I mean, dude, what I'm stoked about is this whole, like, the UAP office or whatever that was just signed in this Gildebrand like amendment.
I'm not silly enough, I think, in my mind to think that they weren't already doing it, but at least now we have an office that we know of that's doing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no way that they weren't already doing this. Otherwise, well, we already have the paper, you know, the videos and stuff that were leaked out. But yeah, Chris, like you said, you know, you're skeptical. I always think of myself as like, I'm skeptically optimistic.
Sure.
I want a lot of this stuff to be true, but I also, unfortunately, am in the type of, well, I haven't seen it myself, so I don't know. And it's hard to, sometimes you talk to people and you go, I believe that cat. And you talk to other people and you go, I don't know. That's just human nature. So it was kind of, I really liked in this documentary, sitting and seeing these people from, like I said, and you said, all walks of life, telling the same story from their different angles.
Well, I think one of the things that I hope works for in this documentary is that it's interesting and compelling to somebody who is new to this kind of world, or somebody who's experienced and has kind of heard a lot of things before, and maybe there's some nuggets of information they haven't heard. And so I'm hoping that kind of everybody can get something out of this thing.
The thing that I laugh at that they say, and this is not in, it's all over, is I guess it would be my issue with the aliens if this is all real, is they want us to be ready to accept them without fear. This was said in there, without fear or threat of violence. They do this, but then they do that through lies and exploitation and stealing people and babies and hybrid programs without us knowing, and back and double dealing behind our back with the government. So it's kind of it's weird because they always say how they are a higher being and they're on a higher level, yet they're exploiting us in one way or another.
Maybe they understand humanity more than we do.
Yeah, exactly. They know who they're dealing with. And so, you know, because what would we do if we have an ant farm in front of us?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, there's also the element of the woo-woo kind of side to some of these people we interviewed, which I will say for me initially is kind of like where I kind of roll my eyes at first.
Yeah.
But Sue Walker is, if one thing, sincere in whatever she says. So she believes it. And by the end, she didn't maybe like make me believe everything she said, but she did, again, open my mind a little bit to think, why not just kind of like keep an open mind? I like her positivity.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of negativity with the internet and everything. And so maybe she's just putting her own personal positive spin on it. But seeing Anjali, like you were talking about Anjali, she sounds, you know, very sincere, very adamant. She's strong, you know, strong woman. She comes out with this very powerful message. But also by the end with her speech, she left on a very positive note that I was kind of surprised when I got to that point in listening to her speech. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know where I'm going with that. But That's it. That's all I have to say.
I get that too. And yeah, it is true. Now, hers was a very, Angelique's was very interesting because they're trying to put together a team or a research to go out and look into where these possible bases are in these mountainsides, and to actually physically go there and put hands on these things. And I noticed, and like at the end of the documentary, it said like they haven't done it yet. They've been having issues with rights to go on the lands and things like that. So it's something we can, mm-hmm, you know, look back, and I'll definitely circle back to that in the future to see how it's going. But having a nuts and bolts plan is something that a lot of places don't have. And so that was an interesting aspect to me as well.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that's one, definitely one of the things that's concerning to Tyler and I is the timed message with some of the content in this movie. All this world moves so fast with the new revelations and stuff. It's like
1971, 50 years. That's right now. Right, so exactly. Now, starting next year, they don't have to hide anymore.
Right, exactly. So, and that's right. What, in 2 days? You
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why we want to get the movie out sooner rather than later.
Well, maybe we'll be on the same slave ships when they take over in a few
that's
days.
True. We can show everyone it. And we can be like, see, told you guys.
And I'll still be like trying to make the best of it. Like, guys, honestly, man, if they... Yeah, I'm going to run down through this way with my camera. We'll film a real 16. Yeah, we're going to start cutting stuff.
You guys need a videographer.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, man.
So what's next for you guys? Do you have any other documentaries on the line? Do you want to stay in this genre? Or are you going to branch out? Do you have any ideas?
We were hired to do a documentary for a local drug program that rolled out in Pennsylvania called Second Chance. And Tyler filmed that over 2 years, and then I edited it. And that's done. But I'm not sure what the release will look like on that. But as far as Dockside Media Productions originals, Tyler, why don't you tell them about Ghosts of Gettysburg, I guess, is our next
thing we're working on. That sounds awesome.
The whole thing, when we started making these docs, and then, yeah, it's a beautiful thing, too, for any listeners out there. Hey, if you want to LLC something, it's just a few keystrokes on your computer. Yeah. Maybe more than a few, but... It didn't take Chris a terribly long time to submit the paperwork to like protect ourselves and legitimize Dockside Media. So we hit the ground running, man. We've got a good system.
We're talking to Fourth Hand Media LLC right now.
There you go. Exactly.
There you go, dog. There you go. So, yeah, you know what's up. And so, man, we hit the ground running. We got a good thing where I film all the stuff, at least for Conscious Contact, full disclosure. I'd get home, cut a quick trailer, and then dump all of it on a drive so Chris could download it. And then when that was all done, I started moving on to, I'm like, bro, what about this? The Ghost of Gettysburg. He's like, yep, that sounds good. And I'm just like, all right, dude, I'll get, whatever. I'll line up stuff. I'll get B-roll out at Gettysburg. I'll line up a camp out on the battlefield.
Oh, wow. That's
and all awesome, these things. Yeah. And Chris, because I'm just really ambitious, you know, and I'm like, I'm going to do this like in 2 weeks. And Chris is like, okay. and after I spoke to the permit coordinator at Gettysburg National Military Park, who was super kind, she informed me that, yeah, we could not film, like we couldn't camp out overnight. But we were allowed to film as like qualified for a small crew, blah, blah, blah. So we got some sick B-roll scenes of reenactors dressed up on Gettysburg Battlefield.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah.
Like legit. Again, 30 years ago, I don't know. It's like probably hundreds of thousands of dollars in permits and all this crazy stuff to go do it, man. And we just went and did it. And then... by just doing social media posts, right, was able to gather a group of, Chris, what did we have? 9 people, I think. Just
9 random people. We didn't even
9 know. Random people at the haunted trails of Gettysburg, which is haunted lands, near the Gettysburg Military Park, and people had died there. And, oh, man. So we camped out, bro. We're doing spirit boxes around the campfire, like, and just all this sick stuff. The fire's dying, man. And Chris and I are filming. And this was great. We're getting near the end of the spirit box thing. And the person has headphones on. And we would ask, everybody around the fire would ask her questions, and then she would randomly say whatever was coming through her headphones, right? And it's, I guess the idea is these spirits are just, you know, they're answering everybody's questions. But so it was great, dude. I throw this wood on the fire near the end because I'm like, it's getting low. Bro, the flames blaze up so high. Everybody's peeling away from this fire except the girl, like in the
medium
doing the seance, the medium with the headphones on. I'm like, what the heck, dude? This she's a beast. And she finally got up and moved before she went into flames. But we got some nasty, nasty shots, dude.
That's awesome. So is this something we can look forward to next year, or you're not sure? Or
that's the plan. It's being edited now, so we will, you know, the plan is to put it out next year. And this early. As well, yeah, early, hopefully. This goes along with like this, since like these people were very sincere in what we were doing and what they believed and everything.
And it comes through when you watch them. It comes through when you watch this, and that's what's important. Is it doesn't feel like they're exploiting or you're exploiting them. And both of those are important. You know what I mean? Because I've seen a lot where people are interviewing people and it comes off as slimy. You know what I mean?
Well, I will say, we didn't approach anything we've made so far with a particular narrative in mind. And maybe this is stupid of us. I don't know. We just kind of like, you know, we stumbled upon people in conscious contact who kind of all led to each other.
And but that's awesome because it was an organic way to tell a story that you didn't even know was there. And all of a sudden they all came together and told the same. Yeah, that's great.
And that's kind of what Ghosts of Gettysburg was too. Cause we just kind of put out this social media call. We had rant, like we didn't know these people except for like one of them. We met all these other people through their hotel owners who live in, you know, a hotel, a haunted hotel, they claim.
The Inn at Lincoln. Yeah.
Yeah. The Inn at Lincoln. And what this ends up being was just like this kind of documentary about our experience and there's personal stories and whatever we captured that night, which was just insane. Like you see in movies, you see seances in movies, you see people talking to ghosts in movies. And then have you ever gone and done that? Like I hadn't before.
Yeah.
And we went and did it with people who are sincere in their beliefs. And I don't want to spoil anything, but there's some really, you know,
buckle up. Yeah.
Some really great interviews people, who, you know, authors and stuff who, you know, are credible.
Right. Yeah.
Don Allison. Yeah.
Yeah. Don Allison.
He was a historian who was never into the paranormal and then happened to have an experience. Didn't really believe it and just kept looking into it more and then had more experiences. And just like Conscious Contact, Full Disclosure, the Ghost of Gettysburg, man, it wrote itself, dude. It's crazy. The interviews we got and how they're strung together or how Chris will string them together. I mean, in my head, I remember all the footage we shot and all the interviews logged. And then, dude, that's not it. We've got Secrets of the Sasquatch, a third doc, bro.
Nice.
Done. Well, that one's finished filming. I got to get like one or two more interviews for that. But we did, like, I did a couple campouts again, just put out social media calls.
Nice.
And did some cool campouts with some experiencers. And we did some, like, just gnarly stuff in the woods at night, setting up Sasquatch traps, dude, having thermal goggles, like stuff I would have never experienced. So it's like, man, we're like, oh, dude, Tyler's fired. It's like, dude, you're damn right I am. This is nuts, dude.
Like, so you guys are like firmly planted in the world of the weird.
Fun being out in the woods at night with a thermal camera. And then to even, like, I love the filmmaking aspect of it too, right? So, like, we're out there. I'm like, all right, well, dude, I need a shot of you guys shining the red flashlight up into the woods, right? So I have to go up in the woods, and I'm on my camera on a gimbal, tracking through the woods in the dark, can't see. Like in the back of my head, like, yo, is something gonna just like grab me?
Right. And
like nobody see? Like, I don't know, it could happen. So the whole just adrenaline rush of like, man, we can do more than we think if we just try. And I'm like, I love that whole thing. And then a lot of people that, like Chris said, with between the Ghosts of Gettysburg, the Secrets of the Sasquatch, there was a lot of people, man, that did great interviews who are like, man, I don't know how I'm here. I don't like people. I don't like socializing. I don't trust, you know, but for whatever reason, they felt drawn to come share their story with me or allow me to come out to them to share, you know, hear their story. So this whole DocSci Media thing, man, it's a beautiful thing. And when I started that, little trailer 6 years ago on my cell phone, I would have never dreamed.
Little did you know, right?
Yeah, I'd be making documentaries. And not even if you'd be like, oh, dude, you'd be making docs. I would have never thought how fun and interesting and like the experience. It's invaluable, man. It is invaluable to go. Yeah. Like the one night, just circumstances worked out where I had to camp out by myself, like up near Centralia, which is like an abandoned coal mine that the town underground's Silent been Hill, on fire for like 65 years.
Probably everyone's familiar with that. Yeah. It's just like super hog glowing on fire. Yeah.
But to just go like sleep out and tent by myself and dude, it was sick, man.
Well, if our listeners want to find you guys, where should they go? If they want to see your posts, maybe if you have future times you need help, they want to watch all your stuff, where they need to go?
Man, we're pretty active on Facebook, which would be facebook.com/DocSci Media. So DOC Side Media. And then also we are on Twitter @DocSci Media, and then also on YouTube. Man, I don't think we're at 1,000 subscribers yet. So,
well, Hysteria Nation, get on this. We're going to change that. Let's get them up there.
Exactly. So if you guys could help us, then we'll get that sweet, you know, /DocSci Media.
Yeah, I know. Until you're at 1,000, it's like 19,000 letters long. You're like, oh, come on. Right.
Oh, I know. I can't even spit it to you guys. You won't be able to remember it.
There's also DocSideMedia.com.
Yep. And the www.DocSideMedia.com is a great place to find us.
Well, we will have links to all of that in the show notes too, so everyone will be able to find you guys and check out everything that you've got out and coming up. So it's going to be great. And seriously, guys, Chris Tyler, thank you so much for joining me. I truly had a blast watching this. And I think you guys, it comes through that you had a blast making it, because it was really good. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much.
And hopefully we'll be back on here talking about Gettysburg ghosts and Sasquatch here in the future.
Yo, bro. And hold on, Chris, we can't let him go real quick before plugging. Dude, you know, on January 6th here, I'm flying out again. I'm interviewing John Ramirez, former CIA, a retired CIA officer. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if anybody out there, Google him and see some of the stuff he's been talking about here on YouTube. But we're making a documentary, another one. It's called In Plain Sight, The Intelligence Community and UFOs. So I got John Ramirez booked. And, you know, I'm going to try for the Lou Elizondo and just other former.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Yep.
So, well, I can't wait. I really look forward to those. So absolutely. Thank you guys for putting up with me with my voice that's or lack of it this week. And can't wait to see you next time. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation too. So you can, you know, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, you know, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do. And then, you know, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, you know, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and There's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in and you're using it with, you know, you get speech recognition and it hears you. You get to use like the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and we have, both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works, you know, and we don't do long-term stuff like this, and this is the one that we've chosen, and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times, and it's always now. Right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rashate, you're 50% off. Rashate. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big ol' move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's mintmobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, hysteria. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Welcome back in, Nation. I love heady thought experiments, whatever you want to call them, processes, when you can just go like, man, I guess what I'm saying is when we look at experiences from all walks of life, like they were talking about with all the individuals in this, it's so interesting to me how you can have societies of people, religions, cultures, vastly different from one another or similar, but separated from lots of space, that are telling these similar stories. And now you can dismiss everything as you want to, as you know, just lies, or you can have an open mind, and that's up to you. That's your own experience. But it is fascinating to me when we hear these stories of indigenous peoples and everything, telling stories of these star people or these encounters with beings. It makes you really question what happened in our past, or at least it does to me. And it's kind of a fun thought experiment. What do you guys think? I would love to have a discussion about what you guys think. Have we been visited in the past? And I don't mean, is there life out there? Because there could be a microbe out there and that's life. Is there intelligent life that has been visiting the Earth for decades, hundreds, thousands of years? You name it. What do you guys think? I want to hear your thoughts. I want to have a discussion. And if we have a discussion on Hysteria Nation, I'd love to roll that into another future episode talking about beliefs of people and how they've changed from the past to now. And do we really think that we're being visited? Because that is the big, the grand equalizer, I guess, is are we alone or are we being funneled, forced, driven, groomed, whatever you want to call it, towards an end, their end, our end, whatever you want to call it. Now, end might be the wrong way to say it, but are we being groomed for some sort of aha moment when everything comes, or is it all a bunch of malarkey? I want to hear you guys' thoughts. You can tell me by going to Facebook and just hopping on Hysteria Nation. You can also go to Discord. We've got Discord. We can talk on there. You can go to Reddit. We have our own Hysteria 51 subreddit. Tweet to us at Hysteria 51 pod. If you're on Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. There's a ton of places we can have these conversations, and I'd love to have them. Let me know your thoughts. Voicemail, 773-669-7277. Probably not the best place for your thoughts. Keep them under a minute on there, but do leave me a voicemail. Longer conversations, though, where we can have back and forth for all those other places. Also, while you're going to places, facebook.com/hysteria51pod, that is our regular Facebook page, which you can now listen to the show on Facebook. So that's awesome. Just go on there and you can click on the podcast link and you can listen right while you're surfing around, looking at all the hate that is Facebook. If you forget any of these links, hysteria51.com. And also, don't forget to go to the show notes and go to all the links for Dockside Media. They're fantastic. You can watch the show right there from their website, and it's going to be streaming soon. And as soon as it's streaming in places, I will update the show notes with places that you can watch it, because this is, it's so new. It's not even out anywhere other than on their website, but it's an awesome documentary, and I wanted to share it with all of you and get a chance to talk to Tyler and Chris, and it was a blast. And I really wanted to have this conversation and hear where your guys' heads are at and what we need to talk about in the future. So with that said, I've been Brent. Thanks for joining me for the ride.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite, join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a Fourth Hand Joint.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.